shenanigans. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. That was fun. I love that version. A friend of mine wrote that when they were going through ministerial school. So it's the words are just a lot better for us. If you know the words to the other song. So it is the best day ever. Right? So it's that way because we're declaring it, and I'm just so fun. It's so fun to have friends from far away show up, so I'm just really happy that Paul and Ruby came and brought their daughter, and all is well, and so happy that you're all here today. So welcome, welcome, welcome. It is just a day full of a lot of stuff. I mean, I got a toy from Miles and Lynn this morning, so it's like, all right, how could that get any better? Life is good. Today's talk title is on spiritual mind treatment. I know if you're on Facebook, you've probably heard of Throwback Thursday. Well, today is Secondhand Sunday, okay? So I'm going to be talking about some of my favorite stories, especially in this teaching, and because we're working on spiritual mind treatment, which is positive prayer, we're going to be focusing on some things that really cement in that positive prayer. So in spiritual mind treatment, Ernest Holmes says this in Living the Science of Mind, states that when we speak our spiritual mind treatment, we often use the term prayer or affirmative prayer. Regardless of which term you use to describe it, its core purpose is to do one thing and one thing only, cultivate peace and faith. Sorry, cultivate faith. Let me say it right. I have my own peace in my head, so right now, it's to cultivate faith. And it's nothing new. It's nothing new. We simply have a new approach to an old truth, more intelligent, more tuning in. So I'm going to talk about the five steps of spiritual mind treatment. And we do have practitioners that are available to do spiritual mind treatment with you after service. They'll do a one-minute manifestation. And we do it in five steps. And when I teach the children in our youth, I talk about the five steps. First step is recognition. We recognize that God is everywhere. Our second step is we unify with. We know that if God is everywhere, then it's also within me. Our third step is realization, where we realize that all things are good, that all is well, and whatever it is that I'm choosing and wanting is right here in my own mind. I can have it by changing my mind. Fourth step is gratitude. I give peace and thanks, and I release. Step five is release. So I'm going to talk about the five steps, and I'm going to talk about the power of our words, because that is one of my favorite things. Yesterday at our New Earth Expo, I did a workshop, and there's been a bunch of stuff going on, and I created the workshop title, but it was about 5 minutes before the class that I decided to create the class. My workshop title was Three Steps to Having the Best Life Ever. Yeah, I know these three steps. What are they? I'm sure you're asking, what are the three steps I need to know? What are they? So the first step is forgiveness. Because if we are holding on to anything, it's like anger at my dad, anger at my mom, anger at my second grade teacher, anger at the ex-husband, you know, whatever it is that we're holding on to, it's like, no, I'm not blocked. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. And we go along life carrying this stuff. Meanwhile, the other people just go about their business. So we get the opportunity to forgive, and it's going forth and giving up, holding on to any blocks that are blocking our flow. It's not for the other person. It's not saying what they did was okay or right. It's just saying, you know what? That doesn't affect me because I stand in my own power of love and light. And forgiveness is one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves. So we give forgiveness. We go forth, give up holding on to anything. And then we go to the second step, which is getting clarity. What would I love? What would I love in my life? And not what could I make happen, but what would I love? Because many times people go about life complaining about, oh, life just done me wrong, telling my old story, and then projecting other stuff. Well, this is all I can figure out for my life. This is what I can afford. This is what I can manifest. Instead of saying, what would I love? It's like, here's what I can figure out. So Ernest Holmes teaches in The Science of Mind and in Living the Science of Mind everything about manifesting what it is that we would love, not what I can make happen, because Spirit will allow everything to come to us in the easiest, simplest way it can, based on all the blocks that we have. So the more we can put those blocks down, the easier it is to allow Spirit to guide and direct us. And getting that clarity on what you would love in your life, in every area of your life, from spiritual to relationships to career to time, money, freedom to health, what would I love and how does that look? And get totally anchored in the picture of that, getting total clarity, and then calmly, quietly allowing Spirit to guide and direct what are the necessary steps to take for all of this to manifest, which is the third step. It's our visualization. So visualizing. We want to feelingly visualize exactly what it is that we're wanting. Feel as though it's already here. It's already on us. It's like our future self has already made the journey. And if we just tap into Spirit, as Rosie was reading that wonderful reading this morning, it's like really going into the silence and allowing it to be attracted to us rather than trying to get out there and get busy and making everything happen. It's sitting in the silence and becoming it. So we visualize, we verbalize, and we feelingly believe it. And the more we can do that, the easier it is to just manifest right to us. So sitting in that space of love and peace and letting go of any of the blocks. So I used to work for a medical clinic, and the supervisor that we had, she did not like her life. She didn't like her work, and she didn't like any of us. So every single day, she would hit the floor screaming, "Who took my parking space? Who turned up the heat? Who turned down the heat? You charted this wrong." Every day, she's yelling and screaming about something. Well, I don't want to take that stuff home with me. Loved the work I was doing, so every day I would write and rip. "Dear supervisor, you blah, blah, blah." Whatever I wanted to put, because you can put anything you want on paper, rip it up, let it go. Get that toxic energy out of me so I can go home and bring love and peace to my children. So I would write and rip at the end of every day. And I finally thought, okay, so I've done the forgiveness, letting go, but I haven't taken it the next step. What would I love? Well, I would love for her to acknowledge the amazing work I do. I would love for her to be nice to me and kind to me. So I'd do my writing and ripping at the end of the day, and I started taking it to the next step. Let me visualize her coming to my desk every day and saying, "I apologize for my bad behavior. I value you. I really appreciate who you are and what you bring to the table." So I started visualizing this. What I noticed after about 2 weeks is she would never yell at me. She yelled at everyone else, but she would never yell at me. Other people started noticing it. It's like, "She never yells at you." I said, "I know. We have a good working relationship." In my mind. But as long as it's in my mind, it's got to happen out here. Everything in quantum physics, everything in science of mind says that as we believe so, it is done unto us. So we get anchored in that space. We visualize, we verbalize, we feelingly believe it. And the easiest way is get rid of all those blocks that are blocking our flow. And then visualize what it is that we really want and act as if it's already here. Because our future self is already over there saying, "Come on, the water's fine, everything's good." It's easy. As long as we put down anything that isn't serving us. So making sure that we are really tuning in to our higher self, because there is that part inside of us. There's that part inside of us that's guiding and directing us with ease and grace. Sometimes we just have to get out of our own way, and then we do the spiritual mind treatment, knowing that God is everywhere. I'm one with God. I know all things are good. I give thanks and I release into the universal action of the law, knowing like a universal boomerang, it's bringing it right back to me. And the work that we do with our own selves is so incredibly important for the planet. And this is where the secondhand Sunday is going to come in, because I'm going to talk about the 100th monkey, because it's my favorite story. And regardless of what anybody else says, it's like, I know this is so true. I've seen so much evidence of it. So Ken Keyes wrote a beautiful book called The 100th Monkey back in the 70s, I believe it was. And there were scientists that were studying these monkeys on a remote island. And every day they would roll out the sweet potatoes. And one of the little monkeys realized that when the sweet potato ended up in the water, it was so much better. It didn't have the sand on it. It was just better. So all of a sudden, he was showing his little monkey friends and his little monkey family. And when it reached the critical mass, the tipping point, the 100th monkey, all of a sudden, monkeys all over the world were washing off their sweet potatoes. And this is what happens when we work on peace within ourselves. That's why we do the prayer for peace every New Year's Eve. New Year's Day. We do the prayer for peace, as do all religions all over the world, looking to get to the critical mass. And the sooner we get there is as soon as all of us clean up everything inside of us, all the blocks, and we have that peace inside of us. So monkeys are great little teachers, and there's a really another great monkey story that I love, where they took five monkeys and they put them in a cage, and they would hang the bananas up on the top, and then they would throw them some other stuff. But the beautiful bananas, that's what the monkey wants, right? So the first strongest little monkey crawls up to the top of the cage to grab this banana, and they took a hose and they sprayed the monkey down. It was a scientific project, so we'll know that no animals were hurt, but it would spray the monkey down until it's like, oh, well, if I try to get the banana, then it's going to spray me down. Well, then other monkeys would try, and the hose started spraying all of them. So every time a monkey crawled up to get one of the bananas, everyone in the cage would get sprayed down and pushed back down to the ground. And so then they're eating just the food, the scraps that are on the ground. Every time a monkey went up there to get a banana, they got sprayed down. So you've got the five monkeys in this cage that are, this is how they're being pulled down by the waters. We're all going to get sprayed by the water. Well, then they started changing out the monkeys, and they'd put a new monkey in, one new monkey, and they would do the same thing. And the other monkeys started to, every time a new monkey was brought into the cage, the other monkeys would pull that monkey down because they knew that we're all going to get sprayed. We're all going to get pulled down. And it's kind of what happens in life. That people may hold you down because they want to keep it status quo. They don't want to be hurt by people leaving them. So it's like we have to really tune into our own self and look at the relationships that we have. Is this relationship good for me? Is this building me up or is this tearing me down? Is it holding me in one space where I'm not growing? So we take that and we really tune in. What is my highest and best? We do the forgiveness. We look at our clarity, what would I love, and then we visualize, verbalize, feelingly believe it, that it's already happened, calmly. And we allow ourselves to rise up to the next level and the next level and keeping that peace within us. And not that we're judging anyone. Sometimes we have to discern what is my highest and best in life. What is working for me? What is it that I would love that would make my life so beautiful and amazing and peaceful and creative? And then we go to that space, and we start allowing spirit to guide us and direct us, which means that we get to sit in the silence once in a while. It's like, oh, yeah, let me sit in the silence and listen to what spirit is telling me as spirit is guiding and directing me. Because sometimes we get so busy in life that we just want to put everything on. Could I turn on the radio, the television, turn on YouTube and turn on all this noise and have conversations and let me get on the phone and talk to somebody? Because sometimes we don't want to listen to what spirit is saying to us. Which is whispering, love yourself, grow, allow yourself to have what it is that you're choosing and wanting in your life. Allow it. And then let peace be there. And not getting caught up into those old stories of yesterday. Let's forgive the stuff of yesterday. That's past. That's history. And be mindful of the stories that you're telling. What are you going around? Are we repeating the same stories over and over and over? Oh, life done me wrong. We'd become a country song. Life done me wrong. They're holding me back. And we start to blame rather than taking responsibility for our own self. So we get to take responsibility for our own self and love our life and be grateful for everyone in it. And then we get to that space of gratitude and making sure that when people are giving us compliments, I always say there's only three proper answers if somebody gives you a compliment. Thank you. Thank you for noticing. Or I know, right? Somebody says you're brilliant. It's like, I know, right? Yeah, I am. So it's like acknowledge that, because then we're acknowledging the divinity and the intelligence of who they are for noticing the goodness of who we are. So thank you. Thank you for noticing. Or I know, right? Super simple. Ernest Holmes goes on to say this in The Science of Mind. We have nothing new. We simply have a new approach to an old truth. Enter into a feeling of assurance that comes from the consciousness of the divine presence in, around, and through you. If we can just tune into that inner knower that just knows what direction to go, that just knows what steps to take. And the more we listen to it, the louder it gets. And then we can really hear it. Treatment is how we remind ourselves of our entire faith recognition, of how we I'm doing really well today. And I forgive myself for that, and I just let that go. It has been a really fun week, so a lot of stuff going on. Treatment is how we remind ourselves of our entire faith. Recognition tells us of our God. Unification reminds us of our connection to and embodiment of that spirit within. Declaration or realization inspires the power of the word and the clarity of right action. And gratitude invites our conviction and acceptance. And release reminds us to surrender, to release into the universal action of the law. I do like to talk about the power of words because my favorite stories is we are Secondhand Sunday. Talk about a couple of my favorite stories of manifestation because our words are very powerful. So some of you have heard this story before, maybe a time or two, and maybe 10, because there's some stories, and this is a good story. So sometimes I repeat it. But back in high school, the movie Grease came out, and there was a line in the movie that I said over and over and over, drove my sister bananas. I'll tell you what the line is in just a few minutes. 5 years forward, I was owning a restaurant with somebody that I was engaged to, and he was my business partner, and I had picked out a very expensive diamond, so we had it on layaway. And on my birthday, he decided to surprise me and bring in the ring when I was working. Well, I was excited. It wasn't sized yet, so I put it on. I'm out there showing everyone. I'm flipping boogers. All of a sudden, we're getting really busy. I'm taking orders. I'm setting up the salad bar. I'm making salads. I threw away some trash, and I noticed that my ring is gone. I hadn't even had it for a few hours, and it's already gone, so I'm backtracking everything. I'm going through the salad bar. I'm going table to table. I'm looking through all of the different coolers. I'm about ready to take out the plumbing, but I didn't do any dishes that day, so I knew it probably wasn't there. I couldn't find it, but I kept thinking, my mom always said, nothing's ever lost. It's only misplaced. It will show up. So I knew it was going to show up sometime, but I still cried. And I went to bed, woke up the next morning because I didn't sleep very well, still tears in my eyes, and I'm at the restaurant setting up because we got to do the next day's business. The day before, I had made about 10 salads. I'm putting together the salad bar, and there's my diamond in the macaroni salad. The line I had said 5 years earlier from the movie Grease, I lost my diamond in the macaroni salad. Now, I didn't put the two together. So I called my sister and I told her the story, and being the metaphysical genius that she is, she said, well, duh. Remember that line? And it's like, you know, I made about 10 salads, but it couldn't be the Jell-O salad, the fruit salad, the tossed salad, the carrot salad, the potato salad. I lost my diamond in the macaroni salad. And it was one of those things that, you know, you just say out there with fun and excitement, and I just threw it out to the universal action of the law, and the boomerang of life just came back. Words are incredibly powerful. It's just like when my sister was traveling with a boyfriend back to Nebraska, because we've moved out to California, all of our family's back there. She hadn't been back there for a while. And his mantra always was, I always get tickets. I always get tickets. And she's like, I never get tickets. I'm always surrounded in light. So he decides they're driving in his pickup. It's a bench seat. And he decides he's going to take a nap. And she's driving and getting a little closer. If you've ever gone through Wyoming, you want to drive fast through that state. So she's going about 95. And just driving. And all of a sudden, woo, woo, woo. He jumps up because he'd been taking a nap. And he's like, oh, my God, I always get tickets. Now you're going to get a ticket. And she's like, nope, I never get tickets. The officer came up and he said, you were going really fast. And she said, I apologize. I'm so close to my home in Nebraska, where all my family is. I haven't seen them for a few years. So I was going a little fast. I apologize. I won't do it again. And he said, okay, I'm not going to give you a ticket. However, and he points to the boyfriend, I am going to give you a ticket for not wearing your seatbelt. Yeah. So we must definitely be careful of the words that we're saying, because we're manifesting it. What words are you just throwing out there willy-nilly, right? We want to be mindful. Even after our spiritual mind treatment, we want to stay in that space. Ernest Holmes says this about that. Between prayers, try to keep your mind poised in such a way that you do not contradict what you have said in your treatment. keep your mind open at all times to a divine influx of new inspiration, new power, and new life. Because here's what happens. I always do my hula hoop, and I have my vortex. So I step in it with my spiritual mind treatment. It's like everything's right here, right now. And many of us do that, and then we walk away and say, oh, man, I don't know how this is going to happen or that's going to happen. And we take our mind away from it. Ernest Holmes reminds us that between prayers, keep your mind poised in that space of it's already happening. I'm just going to step in that vortex in my spiritual mind treatment, in my spiritual practice, and put it on, visualize, verbalize, feelingly believe it's already here right now, that life is good 24/7, 365, and that we just embrace it, we embody it, every word that we're saying, every desire that we have, put it on, and then allow spirit to just, it's like, okay, spirit, I'm tuning in, I'm just guiding, I'm allowing you to guide. I'm kind of thinking of like one of those dowsers. You know, my stepdad was a professional dowser. People would pay him lots of money to come out and find where the water is, and he'd take a couple sticks, and once they'd cross, that's where the water was. He was very good at it. It's an intuitive thing, and I think, well, we could do that with our, do our spiritual mind practice, put it on in our mind's eye, exactly what it is that we're choosing, and then get out your dowsing sticks and inside yourself, and it's like, all right, which way am I going? Oh, come on, go here and here. It's where we're quieting our own monkey mind chatter, and we're listening to spirit. Spirit, guide and direct me. Here's what it is that I'm choosing. I forgive everything in the past, including myself. I let that go. I get clear about what it is that I'm wanting, and then I do the visualization and the spiritual mind treatment. Visualize, verbalize, feelingly believe it is already done. So that is the goal this week, to do those three things. And I do have some sheets just so you don't forget the steps. I'll put them on the back table out there. So let's go inside our heart of hearts. Let's close our eyes to any distractions as we just go within to that amazing power inside as we just breathe in the fullness of life. Letting go of anything that does not serve us. As Emma Curtis Hopkins says in the beautiful words, rise up, O my soul. Rise up. Let me know the truth. Let me know that spirit is flowing through me, because there is only one mind, one power, one infinite intelligence that is flowing in, as, and through us. It is in every single cell. It is in every breath that we take. It is the I am that we are, beautifully, brilliantly. The I am. Grateful. I am love. I am peace. I am beauty. I am strong. I am allowing. I am forgiving. I am joy. As I speak my word and claim for each and every person here that in that I am, we are stating an affirmative prayer. So knowing that each and every one of us are mindful of the I am, that we state, I am love, that every cell is vibrating at a whole new level, a whole new light, releasing anything that doesn't serve, that there is healing, there is an awakening to the revealing of the perfection that is ours right here, right now, knowing that spirit is working through us, allowing us to creatively express in beautiful and eloquent ways, and we just say yes, yes, yes to life. We let go of the stories of the past. We step into the brilliant future and into the amazing right now I am. And in great, great gratitude for this knowing, we go to that beautiful gratitude, happy giggle space inside of us, like a child laughing and playing. Allow that child within to come out in full gratitude and love. As I just release my word into the universal action of the law, knowing that all is well. As we anchor this in mind together by saying, and so it is. And so it is. Thank you.